Welcome to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series Melrose Place.
I'm Dan Hill.
And I'm Jenny Hill.
Let's get started. Okay, so this episode starts, well, it aired on July 21st, 1992, and I gotta say, Jenny, the theme is so funky. I hear little differences every single time I listen to it.
Every time?
Every single time. There's like a new instrument that gets me.
What stood out this time?
This time it was like the popping sound between beats. It's like, doo-doo-pop. That I love that little pop.
Well, I will have to listen for that next time.
You should. You should definitely.
So we're diving into episode 3, Lost and Found.
The Lost and Found, where we open it up and Billy is all sexified and he's walking through like this...
like a jazz club.
Yeah, and then...
his hair slicked back.
Yeah, and instantly I was like, this has to be a dream.
Yeah, I thought dream, and he had an insane accent, too. I don't know what it was. Like, was it Italian? Was it Western? It was indecipherable.
Yeah, and then right when he says, like, so, kitten, that was when it was like, okay, this is definitely a fucking dream.
And then he had handcuffs that he, like, breaks out. It was really crazy.
Yeah, and, somehow he gets shot and he dies and then it cuts and of course it's not a dream, but it's his script.
He has written a script and it is a scene from the new script that he is very excited about writing.
Yeah. So we're in Allison and Billy's apartment and Billy is typing like a 2-year-old just found a computer.
I think chimpanzees can type a little bit more efficiently on a computer.
He's hunting, he's pecking, just index.
Over.
Yeah, really hunchy. And
unlike a seriously like 88 Apple Macintosh.
And I have a note that says, he just typed space, delete.
So he's really getting a lot of the good thoughts down on his script.
So Allison is like, oh, what do you do? And he's like, I just finished my script. She's like, okay, great, gotta go to work. And then we're gonna cut to the pool.
Yeah, and Jane and Michael are kind of having a little fake lover's quarrel, and Michael's cleaning the pool, and...
She's necking the shit out of him while he's trying to clean up the pool.
And while he's cleaning up the pool, he has a little skimmer in his hand, and he violently throws... into the pool.
He not only gives in, but he's just like, fuck everything I'm doing. Let's make out with my wife right now.
And they decide that they're going to recreate their first night in LA, which we find out was only, 3 months ago?
Yeah.
They just moved to LA 3 months ago. And they talked about their first night where they got Pink's Hot Dogs, which is like a very famous hot dog stand here in LA.
Yeah. And I want to mention that, like, Jane was... doing this to Michael at the pool because she was giving him a preview of what's to come.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they're going to watch Ghosts. And my favorite line here is when they're talking about getting the hot dogs. And Michael goes, heavy on the chili. That is not what you want to say when you're going on a date with somebody.
No, it isn't. So then we cut to Jake and Sandy in the laundry room of Melrose Place, and I have a note that like they know like a lot about each other.
Yeah.
I mean,
they dated before.
Yeah, we know they used to date, but like they, it's clear that like already that they're sort of, they're each other's helper.
Yeah, like they're each other's soundboard. And Jake decides that he's going to lay it on the line with Kelly at dinner.
Yeah.
And really tell her this time
yeah.
that they can't be together.
And I think I speak for every Melrose Place fan when I say, thank the fucking Lord. Like, can this be the last episode of the 90210
yeah,
people?
Yeah, we're done with the crossover.
Let's get rid of them.
Get them out.
We know who's who at this Melrose Place, and we're sort of done.
Well, that brings us to the gap. Where the 90210 boys are trying to convince Kelly not to date Jake.
There's so much denim in here. Everything is denim. Everything. Jeans, jeans jackets, jean scrunchies.
Jorts.
Lots of jorts.
They got it all.
Maybe some jutes.
Some overalls. Oh, man. Like, this time in 92, I remember rocking some Gap overalls.
Right. So, Kelly's apologizing for Jake. To David and Steve, and they just continue there. There's no storyline here. They, for the last two episodes, they just hate Jake and they want Kelly to quit. And she's like, "No, he's gonna come around." It's the same thing. We're over it.
Well, that takes us to Michael, and he's on call, and he has to cancel the recreation of his and Jane's first night in L.A. because he has to work a late shift at the hospital.
Right. And he's still hanging on to it. He's just saying, like, later, like, way later, because he promises they're going to cry like babies.
Oh, when they watch Ghosts?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I promise, when I get home, we're going to cry like babies.
Well, that takes us to D&D, where Billy drops by and takes the big shock, which is the script that he's written, and he throws it on Allison's desk and commands her to read the 320-page manuscript by that evening.
Yeah. He's like, Allison, you got to read my script. I just finished it.
By tonight.
Please, tonight. And if you live in L.A., asking someone to read your script can be a gift and a curse, which it turns into being.
I think it's more of a curse anytime that occurs.
Yeah. And I have a note here that Billy has no friends. He writes a script, and then I don't know how long they've been living together, but
I'd say maybe a week to a week and a half.
And he's already, like, driving over to her work, interrupting her day.
Saying, read my script!
And dropping this script on her desk. And like, is, like, desperate for her opinion.
So, that gets us back to Melrose Place. And Sandy and Jane are chatting by the pool. And Jane's lamenting that Michael's going to be working a late night at the hospital. And Sandy tells her that she needs a night at Shooters because she's only 23 years old.
Yes.
I cannot believe she's... I would have bet money that she was 29.
Because she seems the most mature at Melrose Place at this point. Well, her and Allison.
Yeah.
Are the most mature.
Yeah, so Sandy double dog dares her to go down to Shooters without a husband.
Yeah, she's just like, you're hanging on to Michael's every... Which she shouldn't be, because he is a doctor and he is a property manager. This shouldn't be anything different.
He's got a lot on his plate.
Yeah, this shouldn't be... She shouldn't be that sad. Like, is this the first time you've ever...
Well, they've only been living there for 3 months, and who knows how long they've been married.
I guess so, but yeah. So Sandy's like the
instigator.
Yeah, she's the devil on Jane's shoulder at this point.
So Jane tries to make it work with Michael, and she shows up at his work at the hospital in the break room with candles that are sticking, like, candles on this tray. It really looks like a menorah. I mean, yeah. It looks like they're celebrating the third night of Hanukkah.
It's like a cardboard box yeah. of hot dogs.
And so she's brought the chili dogs to him, and Jane is attempting to get it on with him in the break room of the hospital.
Yeah, and Michael and his colleagues are just all in there.
Like, taking a break.
And they're taking a break because there's a break at hospitals. And they see that Jane is like kind of dolled up here with the hot dogs and the candles, and then
hot dogs and candles.
And the doctors like look at each other, and they're like, I think something's going on.
We'll give you some space, guys.
Yeah. So they head out, and Michael's like, Jesus, Jane, what the hell are you doing?
He basically tells Jane to get out of the house and that she shouldn't be there when he's working a shift.
The doctors say, there's got to be someone sick in this place. and like, I'm pretty sure you can't just show up at the hospital.
I don't know.
I don't, like, you can't
this
just, like,
92.
Walk through. So what? You can't walk through a hospital with hot dogs and candlelight?
Yes, you can.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, that prompts Jane to take Sandy's advice, and her and Rhonda do go to Shooters. And while there, Jane takes the gutsy move of taking off her wedding band.
Yes. With Rhonda, right?
Yeah, she goes with Rhonda.
Yeah, she goes out with Rhonda. Rhonda's like, live a little. Come on, girl.
Come on.
Don't you want to see if you still got it?
At 23, going to see if she still got it.
Yeah. So Jane's frisky at Shooters. Sandy coaxed Jane into doing something that day. And Jane is like really bad at taking her ring off.
What do you mean?
Like physically.
Get it off?
Yeah, she's just like, she's like wrestling with it and then puts it in her jacket. I don't, yeah. If you were going to take your ring off, like where would you put it? Not.
Well, I'd never take my ring off.
Of course. But not your big ass, not a big ass jacket.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do that. And while at the bar, these two rock cool guys come up to the girls and start talking them up.
Mm-hmm.
So, while we leave Jane and Rhonda at the bar, and we see Matt and Allison, and they're...
Yeah, Matt's still on the show, guys.
He's still here.
Matt's still around.
He does play a larger role later on, but he tells Allison that he's going to a party in Laurel Canyon, and Allison reveals that she's read Billy's script, and it is awful.
Yeah.
Matt tells her to lie.
Yeah, Matt's like, just lie. Just lie. So just tell him it was great. Don't worry about it. Avoid all confrontation.
But she says that she's going to make him dinner to try to soften the blow, and she's going to be honest with him.
Mm-hmm.
So Billy comes home, and Allison is making dinner, and Billy assumes that the reason she's cooking dinner is because his script was so good.
Yep.
So Allison straight up tells Billy that she hated it. Everything.
Yeah, she makes the casserole. He's like, okay, what's going on here? And without further ado, Allison is like, Billy, I hated it.
And like, she really lays it on the line. She just says, like, Billy, it is so bad. I hated it. And he goes, well, what did you hate about it? Everything.
Bit.
I hated it. And he says she has no taste, just like her lousy casserole.
Yeah. And he's like, you tried to fatten me up. Trying to fatten me up with your casserole.
So he didn't really take it very well.
Yeah. He was like, you loved it. I know you loved it. And then, yeah, she freaks out.
Yeah. So, Kelly is back on the scene, and she's going to Jake's place for dinner. And
God damn it.
They are at the grocery store, and they're in the checkout line, and Jake can't afford to buy all the groceries.
Jake's too broke for groceries. Kelly's like, I got it. And then he's like, no. Let me get it. And it's like 42 bucks, and he only has 40 bucks.
And they had to put back the ice cream.
Yeah, too much cholesterol.
I would. Oh, that was such a... you never hear people talking about cholesterol today. Like, it's not even like a thing that... It's like carbs or gluten or whatever.
Sugar.
But, like, no cholesterol.
Too much cholesterol. So Rhonda... Jane's like, okay, this has been fun at Shooters. I got a roll. And Rhonda's like, come on, Jane, stay over, because she needs some booty. and she needs like a wingman at this point. And then Jane, being so nice that she is like, okay, fine, I'll stay, because apparently Rhonda can't get a dude on her own.
Well, if you think about it, there are like these two up. Like weird guys, and they're trying to get them to go to a warehouse party or like a club or something. And I wouldn't go. Like, I wouldn't go by myself. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't, you know, you got to have someone that's there helping out.
Yeah. And just a little tidbit of information here. The guy who was hitting on Rhonda, his name is Nestor Carbonell, and he was the mayor in the new Batman films with Christian Bale.
Yeah.
He's the mayor. And he was also Richard Alpert in Lost.
Yeah, he looks super familiar.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I have a note here about Billy's script about that there is a transsexual ex-nun in Billy's script.
Yeah.
And I want to fucking read this. I need to read this script.
Based on the little teaser we got in the beginning of the episode, I mean, it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be an entertaining read.
Yeah.
I think you're right about that.
So it's getting hot at Shooters with Rhonda and Jane and their weird dates. And the night's going well, and they want to go to a club. They want to leave Shooters and go to this club. So, again, Rhonda has to be like, come on, come with me. You know Michael's not out of work, so just come. So she does. And then we're back to Jake's apartment.
And
with Kelly.
Jake is cooking Kelly dinner.
Right, and Kelly is all up on the man while he's trying to make some food.
Trying to seduce him.
Shooters, where Billy is at the bar just sulking it up like, no one
likes
me.
Crying his little beer because his script was so bad.
Allison rolls up and tries to console him and say like, look, I didn't like it, but I had to be honest because you're my roommate, which I think is respectable.
I do too. I think that Allison did the right thing. And I mean, as easy as it could have been for her to lie, it looked like a pretty, while entertaining to read and make fun of, I mean, it was pretty bad.
And you gotta lie. I mean, there's a thing to telling the truth and being like soft about it. She could have been a little softer
about
it.
Yeah, she was pretty abrupt. But Billy tells...
And it's his first script. Like, of course it's going to be bad. He's got to know it's going
to
be bad.
Yeah. And Billy tells Allison that his dad wanted him to work at the family's furniture store. And that his dad is always putting down his writing. And the funny thing he says is that his dad wouldn't even give him a sofa.
Yeah. My dad owned a furniture place and I couldn't even get a sofa, Allison. and then I have a note here that says, who says Allison is the end-all be-all for scripts? Like, one person read your script, Billy, and you're already at the bar, like, crying it out over it.
Because I think he's got to know deep down that it's pretty shitty.
Yeah, yeah. So now we cut back to Jake's apartment where Kelly and Jake are cooking dinner and Kelly's putting the paws on him.
And Jake says, do you know how wrong this is?
Right.
And that's when Kelly asks to show Jake how she feels about him.
Yeah. And it's just so abundantly clear that Jake is done. He's like, bitch, I've had it.
And that's when there's a knock on the door.
Right. Some chick named Margot just comes in and has this huge, like, comeuppance, like, why? What? You forgot about our date?
Didn't we have a date?
Yeah. At this time? What the hell? And then, so Kelly is, like,
obviously hurt.
Yeah. She's a poor 11th grader
in high school. Thinking that this was her romantic night with her 35-year-old boyfriend.
Yeah. And she's like, Jake, I can't believe it. How could you do this to me?
So
and
Jake
says, that's how I am.
Well, Jake walks Margot out, and we find out that Margot is just Jake's friend, and she posed as a bimbo to be
right.
His little date. And
he paid her with a bottle of wine. which I found amusing. Like, what would you do for a bottle of wine?
And Jake says to her, you know, I felt bad. And she says, well, what else could you have done? How about not invited her back to your apartment and said you're going to make dinner for her?
Yeah.
Why don't you just say it's over, go back to your high school?
Right. So then we leave there. Jane and what's her name? Who cares at this point, right?
Jane and Rhonda.
Yeah, Rhonda. Right. Jane and Rhonda are at the club. She's like trying to get out of these guys because it's gone on way too long.
Well, one of the dude, like they're the guy that's pursuing Jane tries to kiss her,
and she's like, "No, and she backs I off. Can't."
And she says, "I'm married."
And he's like, "I don't see no ring."
And that's when she goes to fetch it from her pocket, only to find out that she's lost it. It's right. not there any longer.
So now she's on the club floor.
Hands and knees.
Just running through the place trying to find this ring. She's freaking out. She even picks up like a gum wrapper thinking that it's her ring.
And it's not.
And it ain't.
So her and Rhonda go back to Melrose Place with the two guys escorting them. And Rhonda's making out with her dude.
Mm-hmm. And then Jane's boy is like, well, you know, nice guys, we always finish last. So thanks for having me. And Jane goes into her apartment and it's all like candles lit.
Boys to men. Boys it's to blaring. Men
playing. She's all like love struck. And Michael stops her mid sentence when she's trying to tell him that like she lost the ring. And he's like, come get your hot dogs, girl. Yeah.
Heavy on the chili.
Yeah. So then we're back at Melrose Place. We're going to cut away to Billy at his old rickety-ass grill from episode one or two. And he's burning his script page by page.
And he decides to write from his heart. And but he tells Allison that she does in fact make one hell of a tuna casserole.
Right. And then so they've sort of made up. Billy's accepted that. All right, I got some tough criticism and I got to take my licks on this one and move on.
So then we go back to Shooters, and who is Jake hanging with after he finally tells Kelly it's over?
Sandy.
Sandy.
You think they're going to have a little relationship?
I don't know. They might have a little encore.
A little budding relationship.
They're playing pool, and Jake says that Kelly is the only person who ever made him feel good about himself.
Well, 14-year-olds have a way about them.
Just worshiping like a jobless 30-year-old.
Yeah, they bring out the love in everybody. So... It's like closing time at Shooters, and they're cleaning up, and one of the employees there is sweeping the floor, and he's like, oh, excuse me, Sandy? You gotta come over and see this.
And he's pointing to a trash can.
Right, and this trash can is incredibly filled to, like, the brim.
Yeah.
Because they reach in, and his hand doesn't go deep at all, and he pulls out the ring. So Sandy gets the ring back, Jane's ring back. So she immediately lost it at Shooters.
So then Jane takes the ring back to Melrose Place and knocks on the Mancini's door.
Right.
And Jane hasn't yet told Michael anything. And Jane answers the door, and then there's Sandy with her ring. She slips it back on her finger,
right.
And Michael is never the wiser.
But Mancini, like, walks out, and he's like, what's going on here? And Sandy's like, oh, I just came by to... She lies.
Oh, because she said that she found the ring in the laundry room.
Yeah, she lies, says she found the ring in the laundry room, and her and Jane have a moment, like... Thanks, girl.
Got your back.
Thank you so much.
Don't you... I mean, I have a feeling that if I lost my ring anywhere and someone came to return it, you'd be still pissed at me.
Yeah. I'd be like, you were careless.
Yeah. Whether it be at a laundry room or at a bar.
Yeah, I'd be like, you're still really, really careless. But and then after that, you know, Jake kind of sees that Sandy lied to Michael at the stairs, and they sort of have a little moment again.
Oh yeah,
they have a little exchange. So like, I think this is gonna happen soon.
The precursor to
their
romance.
Yeah, but I think the theme of this episode is that telling the truth or lying to break a heart, because we got, you know, Allison, who has to lie, well, who has to tell the truth.
Oh.
She breaks Billy's heart because of the script. And we've got Jane, who could have told the truth to Michael, but that would have broken his heart that he lost the ring.
Oh.
But Sandy lies to save the day. So it's all like, and then Jake lies to Kelly to break her heart.
That's why I love you. You're always reading, you know, deep.
Yeah. So, I mean, good on you, Darren Star, for laying down the...
Keeping that theme running.
Keeping that theme. So, but, like, there's no moral, really, because it's like...
Sometimes you gotta lie.
Sometimes
you can... To protect those that you love.
Right. But sometimes you can tell the truth, and it's just as bad as lying, you know? Because you still break their heart.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the title is To Tell the Truth. But no one really tells
you
the truth.
No, it's called Lost and Found.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. If I had to rename the episode, I would call it To Tell the Truth.
Oh. Yeah. I would rename it True Lies.
True. Okay. I like that. What was your 90s moment for this one?
Oh, my 90s moment for sure is a reference to Loveline. I know it's like still a thing, and I know they still like have a podcast or whatever, but I remember being in middle school, mm-hmm. and I was living in Chicago at this time, and I would always listen to Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla to go to sleep every night.
99.1.
Yeah, I would have it on every night.
WHFS.
Yeah.
And now Adam Carolla is a podcast god. He's like the first guy to ever like make a career out of podcasting.
Really?
Yeah. And for whoever the costume designer for Matt is should be shot dead in the street.
Oh, stop.
Every episode, he's in sneakers, jeans, and a fucking suit jacket. It's pathetic.
No, that, I mean, you gotta think of the times, too.
He's the worst dressed gay guy ever.
No, this was like considered very edgy. Because you're like mixing, I have sneakers on and I have like a suit jacket on. Whoa. It's like when they roll the sleeves up on the suits, like very edgy.
I guess. Edgy / substitute teachery.
So what was your 90s moment?
My 90s moment has got to be where the 90210 crew was in Denim World. There's not that much more denim in this world.
And that's coming back. Remember at the airport, that guy had an entire denim suit on?
Yeah.
And you were, like, into it.
He was denim down.
You liked it.
Yeah. What's your 90s moment?
I already told you.
Oh, yeah, I told you.
But I'll tell you another one.
Okay.
That they have an answering machine.
Who, the Mancinis?
Yeah.
They do?
Somebody does. I just have answering machine written down.
Good enough for me. So that's the end of the episode.
Thanks, guys.
We will do episode 4 soon. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Melrose Place podcast. Remember, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Melrose Pod. And you can email us melrosepod@gmail.com.